going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show is live. Welcome back. Good to have you, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. It is NFL Christmas. It is NFL draft day. Number one, 32 picks upcoming this evening. Who will each team add with their first round selection? To talk about that and perhaps sprinkle in a little NBA on the side, the producer, the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this and find Odyssey stations nationwide every evening from 7 to 11. And with a very special and, dare I say, very handsome celebrity guest host tomorrow evening. I'm not saying who it is, me, the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, the legendary Hatin' Ass Mario, Mario Heron, joining us here on the show via the wonders of telephones. Hello, Mario.
Hey, how are you doing, Rob Brown? It's an exciting day. It's NFL draft day. And I'd also like to say this and tell you, Rob, straight to your face, I did not watch WrestleMania, but I did hear it was a little bit of a letdown. And for that, I'd like to apologize.
I am going to tentatively forgive you. And this is where I'm going to wedge in what I have been trying to get done for a while now. That includes you, are throwing a Discord watch party, Hatin' Ass Mario. You are going to watch the next event with us. It is not a question mark. It is a statement of fact. You are going to watch the next one on Discord with us. You don't have to watch a moment of wrestling between here and there, but you have to watch the next show with us or else you catch no forgiveness.
I will try. As long as Travis Scott comes in there and does something with the belt and knocks some guy out, I think I'm interested.
All right, I got to jump in here because I got to jump in here because I've been sitting on some audio. I'm not going to play it, but I've been sitting on some audio. So Mario's coming in and he's disparaging wrestling.
No.
Okay, cuz I would hate to have to go back to your Patty take and how you said he was going to lose and then he didn't, and I have your exact audio. I'm not going to play it. I could get it. But you come in disparaging wrestling, you know, that almost makes me want to be defensive.
You got me there. Good counter. That's a good counter. I thought we burned all audio and via of that, but you know what? Some lived on. So that's a very, very fair point. I don't mind the wrestling.
As a fellow executive producer, you know we never burn audio. We always keep
that. Burn audio. Yeah, of course. You have to.
I mean, listen, blackmail is real, is all I'm saying. Hatin' Ass Mario joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, big dog, let's jump into some NFL draft talk. You know, I was on Tuesday with you and the boys, and Brad and Ryan asked me what the biggest potential shock moment in round one might be. And I gave a couple. Shador potentially dropping out of the first round. I understand a lot of mocks have started to simulate that. I still think it would be a shock if it did happen. But I've got one more, And it's a little conspiracy theory-ish, Mario. Carson Shane, who was the son of Joe Shane, the Giants GM, you know, the one who told him last year, draft Jaden Daniels, and then they didn't do that. And he won Rookie of the Year like Rob Brown said he would, posted a highlight video last night on Instagram of Jackson Dart, the quarterback from Ole Miss. Within a 10-minute span, he posted it, deleted it, and set his account to private. Here's my shock pick for the night. The Giants trade back to the middle of the first round. They get a treasure trove in return, and they draft Jackson Dart ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Crazy or possible?
So I'm actually with you on like half of that. Daniel Jeremiah also, when he did his final mock draft, had Jackson Dart going at 18, and the Giants kind of trade back into that first round with Seattle. I kind of lean, and we had Sean Marash on last night too, and he was telling us, he's like, look, I just got a lot of intel from some Giants sources, and the way he put it is the Giants are going bad tonight, not knowing who they're going to draft today. And that, another big thing he said was when the room is split, which it is, and you know, it seems like the assistant GM, Joe Shane, and then Brian Daboll are all on different pages. When that comes to that, he said that's when the owner steps in and kind of makes the final decision. I think the owner is going to make a final decision, and that final decision is going to be Shedeur Sanders. So I think what happens here is I think the Giants do at three take Abdul Carter, and then I think they trade back in and get Shedeur Sanders. That's the route I think it goes in. The Dart thing, like, I don't know if I'm going to look too much into the kid doing that. Maybe the kid just really likes Jackson Dart and thinks he's really cool. You know, he's at Ole Miss, he's with Lane Kiffin, and they kind of chip on his shoulder before they fell apart. He realized he had no mental, you know, strong or attitude there. But I fail to believe that, and if they trade back in and, you know, they have the choice between Sanders and Dart, why go with Dart? I will never understand that. It is, you know, if you want to talk about audio pull, you can pull this because I think I'll be right. Jackson Dart gives me Will Levis vibes. And if you want to kind of, you know, pin your wagon to that, go ahead. I don't know if that's going to work out for you. I think you're, you know, going to be selling your house in a year. I really hope you're renting. I don't get it at all. So I think Shedeur Sanders, they trade back in for it. I think that's the most logical route. And maybe you stay there and still at number 30 to take Abdul Carter. And by the way, if they get Carter, if they do that, that's automatically what top five best defensive line in the league. That's a scary, scary defensive front.
So it's not that the Giants, in your opinion, it's not that the Giants trade back to get Jackson Dart. It's you think they take Abdul Carter and then they trade up. Here's the other thing, and we were talking about this yesterday on the show. I think this is a hot seat year for Joe Shane, right? Like, if the Giants don't take clear, obvious, and definite step forward, Joe Shane's out of a gig. So you think he's willing to mortgage the future to end up with Abdul Carter, I think the best player of this draft, and get their quarterback in one season?
He is backed into a corner. He is on the ropes. He's swinging for his life. You know, we all saw Hard Knocks this past season. We know that the owner didn't want to let go of Saquon Barkley. He does. By the way, I will stand by that was a good decision. Saquon Barkley would have won you maybe one extra game this past season for the Giants. He would have done nothing for you. A running back is successful and is amazing on a team that's in a win-now mode. If you're not, then it's just a Lamborghini stuck in a crappy garage in Kokomo, Indiana. It makes no sense. So he's kind of in desperation mode. He wants to save his job. He wants to do anything he can to make sure that he's still employed by the New York Giants next season. A quarterback does that for you, especially if you nail it and you kind of get this right. And not to mention, Rob, imagine being that GM where they say this QB class sucks, where you just need to kind of wait for next year to kind of get your QB, and then you find the diamond. Like, that is, you know, you have, what, 5 more years left on a deal after that? You know, you get that right, you're able to nail that. So that's the direction I think he goes in. And also, I don't know if you guys know this, and let me be the first to tell you. You know what me and Joe have in common?
What, Mario?
We're both alum from the great and wonderful DePaul University. And we were in the same fraternity as well.
A little love for DePaul on the Rob Brown Show. I've never seen you in a DePaul gear in your life, bud.
Well, I mean, it's with the W, not an L, so, but it's all player pack stuff from like when I played lacrosse there. And I had a realization about this time last year when I went to work out with my friend. And he said, hey, buddy, we're not in college anymore. It's time to throw away the player packs as workout clothes and kind of get some new stuff. And that's when I, you know, finally threw it out.
There it is. It's taken over. By the way,
Wait. Is this why you hate lacrosse? Because
no,
Mario played lacrosse?
Listen, I've hated lacrosse way before I hated Mario.
Okay. That's all right.
And but by the way, before I wish you were on the stream, Mario, because before I let Mario sound like he's this super cool dude playing college lacrosse, this picture of a young Mario came across my Instagram not terribly long ago. So let's not sit here and pretend like Mario was an elite D1 athlete or anything.
There's a girl on each arm. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was like his birthday. It was a moment of giving from those two young ladies, obviously.
Can I explain that situation?
You don't have a choice.
So I was 15 years old, and there was a concert venue like right next, about 10 minutes away from my house. Yeah, I was 15 at the time. And all my friends decided to go to the concert. I think that was like my first time going to the concert, and I was up to, you know, what a 15-year-old's up to at a concert. And my sister is to the right of me. And she was there with her friend. And I mean that they were probably drinking that morning until that night, they were. And she was like, we have to find my little brother. You guys are going to think he's so cute. And so she comes up with her friends. By the way, at first I was like, I'm going to look like the man. I'm going to have some college girls talking to me. This is going to be cool. But then they got there and they were so obnoxious and so loud. I've never felt more embarrassed in my life. They walked up and they were screaming my name. They go, which girl's the one you like? And point at all the girls that I went to school with. And I go, oh my gosh, I want this moment to end so fast. And yeah, she like really embarrassed me that day. And she went up to all the girls. She went up to, I believe, a girl I was talking to at the time. And told her that I fart a lot, told her that don't worry, I will grow, which also hurt the ego insanely bad, and it was a tough day. But I believe we got a kiss that night, so it didn't end up that bad.
Well, she also lied saying you would grow. Here we are. Ah, hating ass Mario from the BetMGM Network joining us here, talking some NFL draft for another couple of minutes. If you think there is a team that is going to walk away being disappointed tonight, who is it going to be? Because the one I'm looking at right now is, speaking of teams from New York, the New York Football Jets. I've kind of been leaning on Tyler Warren's right there. You give Justin Fields a tight end, which can be a young quarterback's best friend. And I do consider Justin Fields still a young quarterback despite multiple seasons in the league. But I've also seen a lot of mocks that are looking at them going, not just offensive lineman, Mario, but like one of the clear second tier offensive linemen inside of the top 10 picks. I know they need one of those guys, but I think Jets fans are going to be quite upset if they end up going with a second tier offensive lineman inside the top 7 picks of the draft.
Yeah, I'm off with the Jets. I think just everything that's happened the past 2 years, you kind of go, we got to do anything we can to get our O-line back up and just give Fields time. Him under pressure is a nightmare, but if he gets time to throw and you kind of roll him out, he can actually be a dangerous quarterback and can do a lot of different things. So that is where I kind of think that just – it's not just a sexy pick. It's not you wake up at WFAN in the morning and go, oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves a tackle. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really going to get the ratings up or, you know, you're pretty excited downstairs, but – It's a move that makes sense. It's good long term. I think the team that's going to walk away pretty disappointed and just going, I believe their fan base even more, is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. Because all this talk of like they get Shador or maybe they get, you know, Jackson Dart and get a quarterback with that first round pick, I also can see guys of them just going edge rusher. You know, if Stewart's there from Texas A&M, they take him. Or, you know, if Grant falls, they take him. And the Steelers fan base is going, all right, so we're just, you know, going to really count on Aaron Rodgers to come back from his acid trip and say, I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's what we're just really going to wait on. That's where I'd be kind of pissed off if I'm, you know, a Pittsburgh guy. that's a team that's going to be walking away pretty upset. I also am still standing on the take that I think there's going to be more QBs taken on day two than day one. I really, really do believe, Rob, that we're going to see two QBs off the board in day one. I bet that. I will stand on that. And if it's, you know, false, then this time next week, I will write a poem of my most embarrassing moments of my life. And that will be like, I don't know, I put that at number 12. I think I got 11 more that are worse than that, but it'd be up there.
Number 12, he says. No, I actually do agree with you. I mean, listen, Shedeur Sanders is coming off the board tonight. The question mark is he coming off at a shock pick at 3 to New York? Is he coming off to the Saints at number 9, which everything I've talked to my folks in New Orleans, they are now off of Shedeur Sanders. Is he coming off the board somewhere in the teens to a surprise team or 21 to Pittsburgh? And then it's just, where does Jackson Dart fall in the middle of all that? And if this Giants thing turns out to be something more than we thought, that could end up being ahead of Shedeur. But there, I do not see a way that Shedeur Sanders is coming off the board any later than 21.
I'm with you. And by the way, just this kind of stinks for Shedeur because your range of picks is from 3 to 21.
Yeah.
That's such a wide range, man. That's such a long time to be sitting there going, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. But with the Giants, too, something to keep in mind if people didn't see this. This was reported by Adam Schefter earlier, and this was an exact quote that he was told by GM. It was that Joe Sheen lives in Boulder. That's how much research they have done on him. So to do all that research, man, to do all that prep, and then to go, we're going to go a different way with Jackson Dart, I think that's why I really don't buy any of the Dart rumors, just because of that. That, to me, is like, I don't understand. Then what were you doing the whole time then, right? I feel like if you do that, you know from, you know, a while ago that this was the right move and this is the direction we're going to go into.
We will find out. Hayton asks, Mario is the executive producer of BetMGM tonight. You will hear Ryan and Brad talking draft tonight from 7 to 11 p.m. on the BetMGM network. I will be in there tomorrow with Ryan Horvath, wrapping up round one and covering a round two for you. Mario Heron from the BetMGM network. Big dog, enjoy the draft tonight, brother. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Enjoy as well. Be excited. And the Chicago Bears, I please to God, get Tyler Warren or Ashton JP. Make me excited.
Ooh, listen to Mario. He likes Lonzo's picks.
Lonzo, that's where you're going? What, Lonzo, who the Chiefs drafted?
Lonzo wants Ashton Jante in Carolina.
Really? I kind of like it. But that's okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say what I was saying is if he drops and he's there, Carolina needs to take him because he's definitely better than who they have right now. As far as the Chiefs go, offensive line, man, that's what you got to do.
I do agree. If Jente falls to you, I don't care who you have at number one, you kind of got to scrape the board and just kind of take him. I think that's the truest thing for 6 through. I mean, if he falls to 15, that's insanity. Like 6 through 15. If he's somehow there, then like you kind of have to take the board, throw it away, and just go to Shinty.
We will find out how it plays out. Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network. He will be on tonight, 7 to 11 p.m. I'll be on with the boys tomorrow night at that same time slot. Big dog, talk to you next week. Pelafel, appreciate it.
I'll see you next week. Love you. Much appreciated. And WrestleMania, better bounce back. I'm being serious on this. If I'm going to watch this, I better get something good.
I mean, it's WrestleMania. It's even when it's bad, it's good. All right. When we come back, speaking of WrestleMania, Mario will be an absolute pro doing the segue for us there. Next up, Fight Club, where we'll wrap up an incredible weekend and Monday night of wrestling with Lonzo next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
All right, welcome into the Fight Club, where we're going to wrap up WrestleMania, as Rob said, but we're going to do something different. I didn't tell him because it's more fun this way. We're going to give, if we have time, each match a grade.
Let's go.
All right. Let us start with night one, Gunther, friend of the show, and Jey Uso.
C minus. It was what I was worried about with Jey. The match was okay. It's a championship match at WrestleMania. It can't be okay. It was okay. I'm not mad about the finish. Everybody seemed to be mad about the finish that Gunther tapped out to clip. I wasn't. That is long-term storytelling if you followed the career of Buddy of the show, Gunther. But as a match, it was not the full-speed accelerator off-the-gate first match I was hoping for. C-.
Not sure where they're going with the thing with McAfee and Cole, but that was still pretty cool. And the fact that that kind of fed off of the fact that he tapped to that, going in and going after the announcers over mentioning that he taps to that all the time. I'm going to give a C+, just because I think it could have been a little bit better. All right, the next match is El Grande Americano versus a substitute, Rey Fénix. Not a bad substitute to wrestle against. I don't know if the match would have been better with Rey Mysterio, because Fénix is able to do some things that Mysterio can't do anymore because of age. I'm going to give this one a B+, almost an A.
I'll join you on that. I'll give that one a B+. And I also do have to point out that not only was it a substitution, Fénix, for Mysterio, it was a substitution that happened less than 24 hours before the match happened. So it's not even like they had a ton of time to get ready to put on a banger. I thought for the time they had and the ability they had to put it together, two incredible luchadors, one with decades of history in El Grande Americano, making his, I mean, and the nerves on that guy to make his WrestleMania debut. This man has been roaming the territories for 20 plus years, making his WrestleMania debut, to go out there and throw that match up there and try to preserve the iconic history of luchador wrestling via his first ever WrestleMania match. I thought El Grande Americano was spectacular. But jokes aside, for what that match was and where it came from, I thought it was pretty good. I will get, as a match, if it was like a scheduled match, I'd have given it probably like a C+. But based on what the circumstances were getting into it, B+.
Yeah, not bad for two guys who've only been in the WWE for a very short time. All right, the World Tag Team Championships, the War Raiders versus the new Day. What you got?
B-, C+, somewhere in that range. Like, it wasn't a bad match, especially for one that was kind of thrown together in that last week. I hated sending the War Raiders out in some goofy-ass comic book, video game outfits that like, just send them out as the War Raiders and let them have a go of it. But for kind of the similar situation with the last one, for the match that it was, for what it was supposed to be and how it was put together, I'll go B- for that one.
All right, you're disparaging of video games really irks me. That's like the third time you've done
video
that.
Games, yeah, disparaging the fact that you over promoted a goofy cell phone game to the point of taking away from the reigning tag team champions.
All right, I geared towards kids, and it was a good move on their part. Incorporating rap, incorporating video games, incorporating all the things that they do. I'm going to give it a B, not a B-, not a B+, but a B. Good thing that the New Day's heel turn finally paid off and they got some gold again.
All right. Good with that.
The next match, Jade Cargo versus Naomi. You knew how this was going to go, but I think Jade Cargo's getting better. I really do. So maybe the time off was spent at the training facility, getting the learning how to wrestle a little bit better. I'm gonna go. I hate to be that. You know what? I'm gonna go C+ because I think it should have been more brutal.
I agree. I agree. I think that it was a. I think it was the best match Jade Cargill has wrestled, tag team or solo. I think it's the best she's looked in the ring so far. I'm gonna give a ton of credit to Naomi, because she looked like a good wrestler in this, and I think she deserves some credit for that. She clearly was ready as well. I would give a B to that one. I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
All right. Women's World Championship match between Tiffany Stratton and my friend Charlotte Flair. I just want to say Tiffany got her teeth flat out, nearly knocked out. I know she, and the dentists or whoever they have on staff to throw a veneer up on that after what happened. I mean, when they showed her, she looked like a totally different person. It looked like her front teeth didn't get knocked out, but they got shoved back. And as someone who's had that happen before, it's not a good feeling. And also when she was talking in the presser afterwards, you could tell she was not used to the teeth covers yet. But it was a really good match, but I felt for her when her teeth got jacked up.
My understanding, and I don't know this to be true or not, this is just the dirt sheet conversation. My understanding is that she already had the veneers got knocked loose. She had veneers in, those veneers got knocked loose, which is why they look janky. And so basically they just had to either reapply or adjust the veneers that were already on there. Look, I ain't judging her for rocking veneers. So does everybody else. Have you seen Roman Reigns chompers? They look like a cartoon when he gives the big smile.
I was going to say really quick, when I interviewed Charlotte, she was saying how she had veneers because I think it was Becky Lynch knocked her front two teeth out.
Yeah.
Bad kick or something.
I have been told before, like when I was working for TV News 7-8 years ago, whatever it was, when I was doing TV reporting, and my goal at the time was to be promoted up to news director of the TV channel, I got told by my boss at the time that it is what it is. I got some janky ass teeth. All right. Kids, if your parents are good enough and nice enough and fortunate enough, you're blessed enough to get braces and get them chompers straightened up a little bit, wear your gosh darned retainers. All right. Uncle Rob didn't wear his retainer and now he's just having a janky ass smile.
I was going to say, I echo that because I had braces for 6 years. My teeth were perfectly straight. I lost my retainer because back then they will install like retainers inside your mouth and leave them in there. So I lost mine and now my teeth are crooked again. So
I didn't have that option. And unfortunately, because of that, Rob Brown went to pre-braces, jacked up teeth. So anyway, when I was working the TV, my boss told me at one point, he was like, look, dude, if you're going to make it to that level, there is a chance you will either have to get, invisible braces or you will have to get veneers before we can get you into that role. And it's like, okay, that's understandable. So I'm not knocking her for that. As far as the match goes, honestly,
by the way, I just want to say, I wasn't knocking her. I was saying, I'm saying the fact that she was able to work through that. And I know I understand that pain. There's some pain that I see I don't entirely get. And I'm glad I don't, but I understood that pain and the fact that she was able to work through it and it didn't stop her performance.
Yeah, no doubt. It sucks. I am going to go for the match itself. Honestly, I'm going to give that match a minus because I'm not going to lie. I fully expected Charlotte Flair to win the title. I fully expected to come in here and start talking about Charlotte Hogan, and I was going to be real upset about it. But it's not just the win, which I think was the right outcome there. I thought they put on a banger of a match. It was a better match than I expected. It was a solid good and take. It was compelling. There were a few good false finishes in it. I'll go A minus on it, to be honest with you. I thought it was a good match.
All right, I'm going to agree with you. And the thing is, was the beef real or not? There's been a lot of interviews and stuff afterwards where they're praising each other to a degree where it's almost uncomfortable. That makes you think it absolutely was real. I don't know if it was or not, but it definitely added to the match and made you think Charlotte was going to win, and she didn't. All right, and the final match, the main event on night one, Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Here's where we get the swerve, and we've all speculated pretty much that Seth Rollins was going to end up with either The Rock or with Paul Heyman, which he did. I'm only going to give us an A-, and here's the reason why. I would give it an A+, but Paul Heyman botched the shot on Roman. He did recover though. Okay, so when he went up there, the chair was in the way and he hit the chair. And because he hit the chair, and Paul Heyman being the pro he is, he decided to leave his hand in there and just jiggle it around. Because if he hadn't done that, he didn't actually hit him. If you watch it again, he hits the chair. So then he just leaves his hand up there and then shakes it back and forth so that the emphasis will be on what he was doing there. Paul Heyman, a pro in covering for a mistake, but he made the mistake, which makes it an A- for me.
I'm not listening. At the end of the day, a botch is a botch, and if you can work the botch into looking like it's just part of everything, I'm good with it. I thought it was great. Honestly, I thought it was A+. I thought the match absolutely slapped. It was exactly what I wanted out of three of the best in the business. This is the illustration of, even if the end is predictable, if you pull it off and make it entertaining, it can still be entertaining. Even if I see it coming a mile and a half away, if it is still compelling and entertaining, it can still be very good. I thought that it was A+ for that one.
Interested to see what they're going to do with all this. All right, night two, Randy Orton versus surprise guest Joe Hendry. And I mentioned this before, I got to mention it again. I don't couch pop often, but I saw the silhouette. I was like, who is that? And then you hear just the first couple of notes of the song, and Cameron and I, my son and I, were just jumping up, so excited that Joe Hendry was there. And it's not just about the catchy song and all that. Is if you know anything about his journey, what an amazing year Joe Hendry has had. And being able to come out there and go up against Randy Orton, and all you people, oh, you got squashed, shut up. As he has said, he got to go out there against Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Who thought that was going to happen?
My dude quite literally memed his way into a WrestleMania match with a living icon. Memed his way into a match. I think that's incredible. And that to me is wrestling at its best. A++++++. It was incredible. And it's exactly what it needed to be. It was a spot filler. Hendry got to hit a couple of spots. You had an incredible Randy Orton moment with the RKO to the pose and then doing the pose himself. Everything about, I mean this. This is not me just like memeing for Joe Hendry. Everything about that match was perfect. Everything.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite match of both nights. And again, being a Joe Hendry fan adds to it, but knowing the whole story behind it. All right, AJ Styles versus Logan Paul, the kind of match we thought it was going to be. Whether you are like Robin, absolutely cannot stand Logan Paul, and there's a lot of you there, and I just don't know enough about the story, or do I care to know enough about why everyone hates him. I do know he can wrestle, and I thought it was a good match. I'm going to give it a B+. Because it didn't have that big spot that he always, and that's the problem. When you do a big,
my dude hit a springboard across the whole ass ring.
Yeah,
like, but I don't even like him, but I was like, God dang, that was good.
But he is taking on the Shane McMahon role, and you do some amazing things like jump off the top rope onto the desk while streaming. He did catch a drone, which is more about whoever was piloting the drone than it was him actually catching it. But yeah, I expected a little bit more danger, and I didn't see it. And that's the only thing about it I didn't like.
Honestly, like Lonzo correctly said, I can't stand Logan Paul, and I hope he goes away. That being said, the match was what I expected out of young high flyer with immense natural talent and a longtime seasoned traditional veteran like AJ Styles. I'll go B+.
All right, WWE Women's Tag Team Championship: Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Lyra Valkyria, and surprise, Becky comes out. And so Becky decides to come back, and so Bayley gets removed so Becky can come back and Becky can do what she wants. Becky is the most privileged wrestler out there. She gets to do whatever she wants when she wants, and it's annoying.
You're a Charlotte Flair fan.
Yeah, and she's earned everything she's got. Becky has not. And it's I can't believe you can't see it. And that's you're just enamored.
You're
by
the only one who feels that.
No,
way.
No, I'm not. I've seen
I
it
mean,
on
one other person. Just one.
All right. When we're done, I will send you a bunch of stuff. By the way, be prepared because I can just send you something like every 5 minutes if I need to. And we know I am relentless with that stuff. Even if it's the same one over and over again, I will just do it. You're enamored by her hair. You're enamored by her calling herself the man. And she's so privileged, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so they won. So whatever's below an F, that's what I'm given.
Okay. Let me start with this. The match wasn't good. I give it a D plus. Becky was not ready. It was very clearly ring rust. She looked stiff. She looked slow. It was nowhere near anywhere close to what Becky Lynch was doing before she went away. That being said, being a Charlotte Flair fan, but calling Becky Lynch the most privileged in the game is on the top 10 ridiculous list you've put together. That's way towards the top.
No, it's not. And unlike some people, I don't go by what's popular. I go by what I feel. And I feel like Becky is overprivileged, and I'm not the only one. And I can't help it that we travel in different circles, okay? I try to be a little more broad and go into all those. And anyway, I hope you get that I'm just playing.
Sort of. Yes, I am well aware.
All right, Damian Priest, our friend Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. What a great match this was. I was surprised that Drew McIntyre won, but he did. I'm going to give this one a B. It's no holds barred. I thought there would be more. I know I'm Mr. There's too much blood, too much all this stuff. But in a match like this, build with hatred and everything, you think there'd be a little bit more.
I actually agree with that take. I don't think you hype it by putting the stipulation of no holds barred and then just kind of have. If that was a Monday Night Raw main event, I'd be like, damn, we got a treat. If that was a WrestleMania match, I'd be like, it's a pretty good match. But when you sell it as these two dudes are about to beat the ever-living hell out of each other, and then you give me a good, grueling, but pretty standard match, it is what it is. But no, I'm not surprised McIntyre. In fact, I called that shot. McIntyre had to win that match because they lost in that spot to Damian Priest. And honestly, Drew McIntyre is done. Like, there's nothing that is threatening about him anymore. He had to win. I would say B minus for that match.
All right, three more matches really quick. The last one we won't spend as much time on because we've already done that throughout the week. Intercontinental Championship match, Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio. Exactly what we thought would happen. We both predicted that Dominic was going to win. The one thing we didn't predict was the crowd being for Dom. That was a little bit, good for him. The fact that he took a curtain call. You didn't expect that. Run back to the ring to get some of the accolades from the fandom there. And the question is it just because it's in Vegas, or will he get more of that when they get outside of that state? I'm gonna give that an A. I thought that was a really good match.
The applause for Dom, I think, was one of those spots. We've talked about the fact that, like, kayfabe's kind of dead, right? There's elements of it that are still alive, but overall the concept is dead. I'll tell you why I think Dom received the applause. I think Dom received the applause because we all collectively boo his character so loud that the man can't get two sentences out during any promo he cuts. But on the flip side, an appreciation for the man playing Dominic Mysterio, right? The character, the actor portraying the character Dominic Mysterio has done such an incredible job at being such a chicken bleep heel over the years. I honestly think we are currently giving flowers to Dominic Mysterio, the actor, for an incredible heel character. Because you'll remember, though, when the whole Dominic heel turn thing started, I couldn't stand him. I'm like, this guy's boring, he's bland, there's nothing to it. I don't have any reason to enjoy this. And now he's one of my favorite guys to show up on screen. I think he deserves flowers for the actor portraying the character, and I think he got it, and I think he deserved it. A-minus match.
Yeah, and not just there. The interviews he's been doing lately are very good. They really are. He's getting some good cuts in. All right, two more matches. Women's World Championship between Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. We both, I believe, predicted Io Sky winning this. And I thought it was a good match. I don't know what. I was expecting something else, and I don't know what. So I'm going to go B plus.
I'm good with that. I think we perhaps thought that there would be some. Probably some more unhinged behavior, right? Kind of like the McIntyre.
Damian Priest.
Yes, Damian Priest. I was about to say bisexual Undertaker match. I kind of thought we were going to see a little bit more unhinged behavior, a little bit more over the top behavior. But honestly, for what that match was and the setup and the time they gave for it, I thought it was pretty good. I would go probably B plus, and I think that's a solid grade for it.
All right. And finally, the last match, Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. I'm just going to give you my grade. It's not going to be anywhere near what Rob's grade is. I'm going to go with a B. I'm glad The Rock wasn't there. I understood. Before The Rock went on McAfee and echoed exactly what I said, The Rock would have took away from the shine. Whether Travis Scott needed to be out there, maybe they should have changed that. Maybe it had been some other way of him cheating for a win. I get that whole take, but I don't think The Rock ever needed to be anywhere near it. But I'm going to give it a B just because John Cena can't wrestle. He is the greatest of all time, though.
Before you and a very small conglomeration of people bought into the Dwayne's PR spin because Dwayne couldn't be bothered. Again, not important enough for Dwayne to show up and take shine off, but important enough to send out Travis Scott. No. Dwayne coming out would have taken the shine off of John Cena. Dwayne interfering would have taken the shine off. Travis Scott, though, coming out and doing that exact same thing, that doesn't take the... Stop it. Dwayne screwed up. They screwed up. They wasted one of the biggest heel turns in the history of the company. F. Straight up fail, in my ever so humble opinion.
Such a hater.
Don't buy Dwayne's PR spin, Lonzo. You're better than that. You don't even like Dwayne.
By the way, I said it before he did.
In fact,
so he took my spin. He took my spin.
For months now, he's been Dwayne, but all of a sudden he's The Rock to you again. I see through you, Lonzo.
Okay, I have no words. We need to go to break.
Back after this on The Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Dwayne. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. NFL Draft round number one is coming up this evening. We've given you some of our thoughts, picks, projections, selections, and more, and we'll continue to do so throughout tomorrow's show as we get set for round two. But tonight, Cam Ward going number one overall. I gave you the rest of the mock earlier. We are going to find out where Carolina goes with that eighth spot. If the Giants do indeed trade down, it is going to be, I think, one of the fascinating and compelling round ones in recent memory, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I try to watch live. You can look at your phone and go, okay, this we went there, but tonight I expect there to be something. So I'm definitely watching live. And
I agree.
I probably will watch Rich Eisen mostly because I like Rich Eisen.
I'm probably likely to do the same thing. I will bounce around like as picks come in. I may bounce around just see who's talking about whom on what channel and all that. And then obviously it's also going to be dependent on what happens because I will tell you this is something I've done the last two or three years. Great one sometimes is I will take the Odyssey app while I'm watching the draft. And as teams come on the board and make their selections, I'll actually tune into Odyssey stations in the city and just listen to whoever they have on the air locally at the time talking about that pick. I will check in and hear what the immediate reaction team to team is as well. But I'll be bouncing around coverage. But I will say this is one, it feels like to me, one of the most must-watch first rounds that a lot of them have felt very chalky. This one does not to me.
Here, Rich Eisen, Monday through Friday, 12-3, right here on the Fan Upstate. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is Draymond Green.
Draymond Green is excellent because Draymond Green in the Warriors-Rockets games last night had an entire arena of people chanting, bleep you, Draymond, loudly, like on the TV speakers, loudly, like AEW at its drunkest, loudly, and it was hilarious. Draymond got to the postgame press conference and they were like, yo, Draymond, how do you feel about them chanting bleep you, Draymond? And his response was an immediate and very dry, get something original, which I thought was a good fire back from Draymond.
All right, that's part of it. The other thing is he's being blamed for Jimmy Butler's injury. But if you watch the video, he did not shove that guy. That guy,
no.
That guy did that on his own.
No, you know I am as down to blame the bad things in the world on Draymond Green as anybody else. I blame overpopulation and pet shelters on Draymond Green. This morning I made some hash browns for my wife before she went to work. They came out of the air fryer burnt. Draymond's fault. I'm down for that, but that was not on Draymond. Basketball happens, dude.
Wow, is that why you were gone for a really long time?
Yeah, at some point? I was making the wife hash brown. The wife wanted hash browns. She gets hash browns. What do you want?
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Mongo.
Steve Mongo McMichael passing away after a battle with Lou Gehrig's disease, the member of the 1985 Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears, and I believe this, Lonzo, the most underappreciated of the four horsemen of all time. Steve Mongo McMichael passing away. A dude that we have made, I cannot count how many references to on this radio program in years gone by. Steve Mongo McMichael, a Rob Brown Show icon, a pro wrestling icon, and oh yeah, a pretty damn good football player too.
You know, when he first started wrestling with the Horsemen, I'm like, is that Chicago? Nah, it can't be. This was before the internet, so it was harder to find that stuff out. And then it turned out it really was that guy, and it made so much sense that someone from the Bears, from that particular Bears team, was able, and full-on horseman. It wasn't like a celebrity coming in.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he was a horseman for a while.
Yep.
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is the Switch 2.
I don't know what's going on with the Switch 2. Obviously, when the initial round of tariffs put into place by Donald Trump went into play, considering a large chunk, if not most, if not all, of those parts that make up the Switch 2 are made in China, the price of the Switch 2 was expected to skyrocket, and it made the gamer community quite upset about the whole situation. But I have not seen anything since then other than one of, I don't know if this is CBO, CFO, whoever, said that with the games for Switch 2 being $80 games, somebody said that when the first game, which I believe is a new Mario Kart, drops, they said you will see very quickly that these games are very worth $80. I don't know if that's why it's trending or not.
Well, it is X-ing because of waiting lists. So a bunch of people, they just went on sale, and Best Buy only had so many to get. You had to wait to get on a list to get one. GameStop, all these others, and not really much different than when any console goes on sale. Really, they make limited amounts of them, and it's hard to get on the list. And you're exclusive for a while till they make more.
Yeah, but I guess one of the other things is, and I think I saw somewhere, and I could be wrong about this, that. Because one of the big problems you have with new consoles is that you have scalpers who buy like 90 of them and then they just resell them for double the price or whatever. And I think if I recall correctly, I read somewhere, Alonzo, that Nintendo was putting some sort of authentication process into play so that scalpers couldn't do that. Like you can get in line and you can get one and that's it. And we're going to identify who has them to make sure that people aren't buying them in bulk, which I think is awesome. If they're
all right, real
that.
Quick on the stream, James says waiting hours for my pre-order to go through, not recommended because he didn't get through.
How much is the console?
Oh, it's like $435 or something. I can't remember what it is, but okay. It's about as much as you would pay for a console.
Yeah, but I mean, it acts as one, right? That's what.
It is.
I've never had a Switch, so I don't know. Maybe we'll change that. That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy night number one of the NFL draft. We will have full coverage of the first 32 picks tomorrow, and of course, preview for the weekend. Y'all have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Thank you for listening. You're amazing. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later, buddy.